Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As we barrel towards the holidays, it does cue a time for lots of get-togethers. I'm talking about potlucks and parties, just a smorgasbord of good times. So we're ending today's show with an Insight tradition, leaving you with some inspiration when it comes to music and wine. Every year around Thanksgiving, Cap Radio classical music host Jennifer Reason tees us up with interesting compositions that hearken to the season, and our resident wine expert Rick Cushman listens on the fly, he has not listened to these before, and pairs it with the perfect varietal of wine. So let's begin. Welcome,
so
you
fun.
Two.
Thanks for having us.
This is going to be fun.
Yes. Okay, Jen, I want to start with you. Like, let's just get right into it. What went into this year's selection?
Well, actually, it is all in this first selection that I made. It's a tradition called Tafelmusik, and this is from the 16 and 1700s when people would have feasts that last 3 days. And so you would need music and composition and food for 72 hours or more. So this is all things Thanksgiving. So Tafelmusik is my first selection.
You know, our listeners can't see that, but the three of us were dancing around.
Yes, I know.
So if it's going to have to last 3 days, it's also going to have to not be the biggest wine in the world.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, so that is such a light, happy, zesty wine. The wine that goes with it, and it's perfect, the perfect country for it, because it's a bright Riesling. What we would now call Cabernet, but from those days, it was really the Rieslings that they made. And they made the same grape wines then that they do now. So it's with the, you know, that almost ethereal lightness to it, just like that music.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect.
I love it. And a dry Riesling?
Oh, dry, for sure. Yeah. Well, especially the older wines, they didn't really know how to get them sweet, and they didn't have the farming techniques to let them sit long enough. But that one needs dry. It needs dry especially, and lightness.
Especially for 3 days, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Pacing.
All right, let's move to Beethoven.
Beethoven. So we're still in Germany, but this is 200 years later, and this is the Shepherd's Song of Thanks.
Wonderful build.
Isn't it gorgeous?
So this guy Beethoven, I think he could write.
You know, a little gift.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow. That was absolutely lovely. So there was a smoothness and a silkiness to that. And I'm torn between a couple wines.
Ooh.
But I think the wine that would go would be, and they don't make them that rich, but with the Germans, which we would call Spätburgunder, which is what we would call Pinot Noir. That's their name. And they couldn't get them too warm, because I'm thinking this a silky but warmer Pinot Noir would be absolutely lovely with that. I'm also thinking what really go with that would be a really nice warm bourbon.
But oh, well, yes.
we're doing wine.
When you say warm Pinot Noir, do you mean room temperature or actually warming it up a little bit?
No. I'm actually sort of thinking in myself in terms of the feel of the wine. You know, like the bright crispness of that Riesling with the song versus the, you know, when there's a sort of a depth to, especially Pinots, but a lot of wines, when there's a depth to them, they almost make you feel warm.
Yeah. No, I get it. All right. United States, America.
United States. This is Simple Gifts, set by Aaron Copland.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, from the Nashville Chamber Orchestra.
Wow, that's beautiful. So I was really wrestling with this one, too. First off, in the U.S., we have basically all the varieties of France and Italy are here. But I'm thinking what goes with this is, for me, it's still a white, but it's a Chenin Blanc from our friends down in Clarksburg, but a richer version of it, because there was, again, another richness to that. You know, Chenin's dry, but it has these, you know, deep fruit flavors to it as well. Mm. And it's that, you know, it can have that almost silkiness that music did too.
Yeah, showing some love to our friends in the Delta.
You know, Clarksburg is actually one of the three great spots on earth for Chenin Blanc. Yep.
That's great to know. And it's about 20 minutes from Sacramento.
Exactly.
Lucky us.
All right, let's move to Italy.
So every classical Thanksgiving playlist in the world has this tune. You'll know it immediately. It's Autumn.
All right, Rick.
Yeah, I'm watching the movie The Four Seasons. I am going with wines called Amarone. So Amarone is a red wine, and it's from often from Tuscany. And what they do is they pick the grapes and then they let them dry on shelves. And so the grapes, and what happens when they're dehydrated, they lose their water, obviously, and so that. The intensity is more, the flavors are more, and it's all higher alcohol, but they ferment them dry, so they're not sweet. So it's this big, but not muscular, this big sort of rich, deeply fruited Italian wine with this lovely note of earth to it, too.
I always learn so much on these segments.
Yeah, same.
They are high alcohol, though, so this is not going to last for 3 days.
Yes, not a three-day party. But no. The wheels are turning, learning a lot. So our last one is in Australia.
Australia. So we're back to the shepherd's field with this one. This is Shepherd's Hay.
How can you not smile?
I know. I'm just like kind of bouncing.
There's like happy sheep dancing around now.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So Australia is a surprising and interesting wine country. And it is, you know, all the wine, they actually have like 2,500 wineries, and they're down in the south, which of course we have to remember that's, you know, farther from the equator. And they got great names too, places like McLaren Vale and Hunter Valley and, you know, just better names than ours. In any case, I'm almost reluctant to recommend this, but if you get the right one, it's awesome, which is a sparkling Shiraz.
What?
So that's Syrah. You know, Shiraz is Syrah. And,
Our mouths are open.
I know. I'm just hanging open.
They can ferment them. Now, I got to warn folks, be careful, because so often they're way too sweet. But if you get a dry one, so look for a Brut, B-R-U-T, Brut, that's the one. And then it is this lively, you know, it's a sparkling wine with the depth of red fruit. And I just think those sheep would love it.
I agree. I would love it too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a great segue, Rick, because you always come on and you share such an important reminder for Thanksgiving. I mean, you don't have to be a wine snob if you're going to someone's house, if you're going to have wine for your guests. You have two simple tips.
Right.
What are they?
Right. Well, the first one is don't be a wine snob, right? Because this isn't the time for it. You know, Thanksgiving is about family and friends and community. And the other part of that is you take out the really good stuff. Let's face it, people aren't going to notice. So number one is just don't be a snob. And number two, and it has a corollary, which is don't sweat it. You know, and the, you know, this, it drives me nuts. We were talking about this outside, is how many wine writers and critics and psalms, and whenever, you know, they get close to the holidays, they say, you know, well, so they get two things. They complain there's too many foods so that nothing will match them all. I say, exactly. There's so many foods, anything will match. Just so, so that gets to my corollary, is drink the wine you like. That's absolutely number one, you know, number two. However, I can also make some recommendations if you would like.
Yes, we have about a minute or so let's do it.
So quickly, so some of the wines that go really well with all of those foods, or many of them, are wines that you know very well, at wines like Chardonnay. It's just a richer Chardonnay picks up so much in the food, and, you know, and Sauvignon Blanc. But I need to say, as you guys hear me say all the time when we get to the holidays, sparkling, sparkling, sparkling. There's so many good sparklings out there, and they go with so much. In the red world, Pinot Noir and Zinfandel are my two favorites for Thanksgiving, because they're both good food wines. Pinot on the lighter end of matching everything, and then Zin on the richer end of matching everything. And, you know, it's funny, the wine world has, like, different views of both of them. Pinot's the really cool wine, and Zinfandel's the pedestrian wine. Well, as a pedestrian, I got to say, I love Zinfandel. So that's where I would go with those two.
And I loved learning that, you know, when you get to dessert, you know, the pecan pie, the apple pie, the pumpkin pie, the wine actually has to be sweeter.
Sweeter, right, because people don't think of wine having acid in it. But it's like orange juice, right? You don't think of orange juice having acid in it unless you brush your teeth first. And then you go, what the heck? You know, and anyway, so there is, and so when you have something sweet, it's like brushing your teeth before drinking your orange juice, it makes the wine sour. And, you know, so many folks are used to chocolate and Cabernet. If it works for you, great. But I recommend, like, especially for Thanksgiving foods, is like tawny ports. Those are ports that are aged, or tawny style ports, or, you know, the white dessert wines, and the Foothills are filled with them. And they have that sort of, you know, the same sort of nuttiness to them that a lot of the Thanksgiving desserts have.
Yeah. And so we got to wrap things up, but not without your Brooklyn Dinner East Sacramento
tomorrow night. Yes, and we're doing Thanksgiving food and pairing it with three of those Thanksgiving wines that I just talked about.
I love that. You can learn more from Rick Cushman while listening to Jen Reason's Classical Music. Thank you both. That is it for Insight today.
Thanks.
I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.